Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the first, second, not pilot, Space Virgins Literary Society meeting.
Yes. A book club.
And I'm not starting by singing incredibly high.
Hey, I thought that was a great start.
It was so high.
Yeah. So I watched Psycho Gorman last night.
Cool.
Ah, Psycho Gorman. Tell us about that.
So, okay. Oh, yeah, we could do it properly. Like, I could actually start off with the synopsis of the film.
Yeah.
So, spoiler warning, obviously, because we're going to discuss the film.
All the spoilers. So,
I will say it's not really a film where spoilers matter a great deal, so don't be put off by that.
So these two kids discover a long-held evil buried in their back garden. They dig it up, and then Mimi discovers that if she holds the creature's heart in her hands, because it's separate, that she can control this evil character, and she can have this great sort of evil that spans the universe as a plaything, really, I guess.
Worth noting that she herself is kind of evil.
She is kind of evil, yes.
Which for me is what makes the whole thing work. What makes it fun. She's a little girl and she's kind of evil.
Yeah. God, I've just realised I'm shit at doing synopsis. That's something to work on for them.
You're good. Keep going.
Adventures ensue. I think a lot of it is a character piece. Who's the kid that got turned into the brain?
Yeah, that's Alistair.
Alistair. Yeah. By the way, sorry, Hamish, are you ducking again, by the way?
Because
you switched rooms and then Pipewire reconnects.
You're right. So it's sending. Yes. Yeah. I'm not yet.
No worries. I mean, I do wonder if sometimes we should just bite the bullet and have our own Jitsi instance on, like, freebooters or something.
We did have a Jitsi before, didn't we? Yeah.
To be honest, it didn't
cut out my sniffing. One thing I like about Discord is it does seem to do, like, automatic dating and stuff that, for me, works well. So you don't hear my...
Also, I have noticed that since you've got the Yeti... We can hear you a bit better when you're not quite as close.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Yeah, that's the main thing I cared about.
Yeah, which is
here.
Vaguely, yeah, but you don't. Your voice doesn't change too much as well. Like it sort of.
For the audience at home, usually the knickknacks that say extra hot and fiery, and they are, but it takes a few seconds, so you sort of forget, and then a few seconds later you have another couple, and you go, oh, yeah,
they're hot. Does it hit the tongue, the throat?
Tongue mainly.
Oh, yeah. It's just pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the...
You like pain, did you say?
A little bit.
You're sorry?
Chris likes a bit of pain.
Yeah. It's like, it's the BDSM of food, isn't it? Like chilies.
I love that these plants make poisons that are intended to stop things from... We say this the other day, and then we just like, that poison's delish.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Isn't technically mint a poison?
Yeah, I think it would probably, yeah. I know nicotine is as well, which is, we like all these delicious... I mean, they're not poisons for us, they're poisons for insects and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's given them quite a boon in...
Cocoa's poisonous to almost every mammal on Earth.
including us.
But, we've got a bit of tolerance for it than, say, like dogs and cats and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They're just addicted.
They are.
Join the Patreon to see the cut where Hamish dies on stream.
So I was thinking about, because I've actually started. Also, I've worked out how to do tabs on the phone, because I started a TSV file on my phone.
I thought you meant like in a browser.
Markor, which is the text editor I use, which is, I reckon, really good for phones, actually has a little...
Does it come with a keyboard, then?
It comes with like keyboard additions.
I mean,
So I have put. Let's have a look. Where have I? Where's the icon? There it is. So I've started a TSV file, which eventually, because what I've got, right, this is a clever thing that I'm going to do. Watch it. It's going to
tab separated values.
Tab separated values. Yeah.
Give me a second.
And what I quite like about that.
Oh, you know when someone says it's hot and you underestimate it and you go, that's not going to be that hot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, very professional use of the cough button. So I've got...
We call it mute in the business.
So it does tab separated values there. I can do, I don't know if you can see. So I've done three there. Yeah. Well, one is title year rating. Is that how you've done yours, Drew?
I think it's date of rating.
Oh, dear.
I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Mine's date of rating, rating, title, year.
Date of rating. Sorry, say that again.
Date of rating.
Yep.
Rating, title, year.
Date of rating, rating, title.
The date when you've rated it.
Date of rating, rating, title, year. Okay. That sounded like a whole jumble of words there. Date of rating, rating, title, year.
Yeah, there's a lot of words together that you kind of have to... Yeah. Pull apart
date
of that,
rating,
yeah.
Rating, date, and date of rating date.
It's like there was a poster in the pub when we were getting our breakfast, and it was real ale sale, but it had something else in it as well. It was like just three lines on a poster, but it read like a tongue twister.
Yeah.
So, like something real ale sale, but it was... Oh,
a real ale sale by Christian Bale.
Oh, my.
So I got PG Psycho Gorman and I've got Twilight. So those are the two that I've recently watched and reviewed. Do you want to guess what I've given Twilight?
Well, again, which of those two did you prefer?
Psycho Gorman, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, good. So it's not Twilight. We were talking about it yesterday, weren't we? So I know you don't like it, but I don't think Twilight's a one. It's too interesting to be a one.
There is interest in there.
It's fascinating, but I mean, it's horrible. It's a horrible film. Not on no level is it enjoyable, good, or well made. But it is. It's fascinating that people like that, and it got made with a big budget. So three?
Yes, three. Good. And I think three is fair. Also, with this rating system, I have decided I will not use partial points.
No, same. Yeah, yeah. Well, I give it a one. I've just argued it for it not being a one, and I need to go and give it a three.
Yeah, I'm going to go through all of the films I've watched on your list and then add my rating.
Yeah, it's a good way to start. Good way to
get you started, yeah.
So, but I've given Psycho Gorman, and I'm not settled on this because there are things I like about it, but there are things that knock it from the top spots.
Mm, let's get into that.
So I have given it a seven.
I think that's a perfect. That doesn't offend me. As somebody who likes it very much, that doesn't offend me.
Yeah, that seems a pretty fair.
But
for since people might be watching this, that might not. I mean, unlikely, but they might not have watched your other episode of, because this is a different channel, effectively. That the rating system isn't like, you know, ones. It's 1 to 10. It's not like 5 to 10 is good and 5 and under is bad. It's not. It's a 1 to 10 scale. Yeah. So
there's some cores that I greatly enjoy. If you want to see, so we're sort of basing this discussion around a page I find that actually objectively rates movies. It's at friendo.monster/rat.html, and it's just an objective. I assume God made it.
Okay.
Because it's just correct.
Well, you've put Sneakers as a 1, and you've given Crank
exactly,
a 10.
Exactly. Sorry, what was the term?
A Crank. Was it Crank a 10?
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a 10, but it's quite high. Crank's not a 10, like an 8.
I've not seen them, so I can't...
Honestly, Crank is a contender for the next episode, I reckon. Because
I'd have to watch it then.
Let's watch both of them, because they make a beautiful...
What, Crank 1 and Crank 2?
There's only two of them. Oh, no.
I think you like it, Hamish.
I probably will. Yeah, it's not that I've anything against it. I just never got around to it. And I do like Jason Statham.
Yeah, for some reason.
He's usually good. Yeah.
So it's 7, but it could be an 8.
It's got, like, I gave it a 10, but it's a 10 because it's very low budget and because they clearly, it's very indie. They're clearly just having so much fun making it. Like all the costumes and like they're all a lot of, there's a lot of practical effects in it. A lot of miniatures as well.
Yeah.
When they do like the alien planets. And I just respect the creativity. So it gets bumped up because there's definitely some, you could tighten up the editing, you could tighten up the script, some of the performances. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, this seems to divide people. The people who don't like it, it seems to be because they don't like the performance of the little girl. Whereas I adore the, like, she's definitely going, she reminds me of, this will mean nothing to Hamish, but I can't, what's the name of like the bad lady out of Power Rangers?
Oh, like Rita. Is it Queen Rita? Rita Repulsa?
Rita Repulsa. She's a little bit that. She's a little bit like pantomimey.
Yeah.
Which sometimes I can find off-putting, but I think she nails it. And I love her.
Yeah, I think she walked the line, and I could have went, she could have put me off it. And that's one of the things that makes the trailer for this film doesn't have an atmosphere to it that suits the film. That's the thing.
I would say it's largely a comedy film, and all you can really do with, and like the worst comedies, they just put all the funny bits in the trailer, and then when you
watch
the film,
you
don't want to do that. So it is, and the rest.
But So the comedy bits I absolutely loved. Right, like it made me laugh a lot. So on the comedy part of it, to be honest, as far as comedies go, if it's just being judged on its merits as a comedy, it's a 10, right? Yeah, like it made me laugh. It made me laugh enough for it to be a 10. The things that I liked the good guys, with the Templar people. Yeah, they were good. I like the guy who's just like, I just don't understand sports.
I like the way Mimi towards the end, so spoiler for a line. But I love how she decides it, like there's about to be a battle between evil and worse evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing, because it's like, are we supposed to have some sort of sympathy for Psycho Gorman because he was kept as a slave, and then the Templar people...
He turns evil. Like, there's no progress to evil. He's just free, and then is evil, which I love it.
Yeah. Then he becomes the Archduke of Nightmares, apparently.
Which he does back up when he appears in the kid's nightmares, and I love that when he's in this kid's nightmare, and the kid's like, well, what do we do now? And he's like, well, just wait for your nightmare to end, I guess. And they just stand there.
Yeah. In fact, it had a little bit of the style of humour of the recent Dungeons & Dragons film with Chris Pine.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
And interestingly enough...
Yeah, I see what you mean.
There was that kind of like... It's funny because it's odd, or funny because it's awkward. And honestly,
like the stuff where the battle when they get captured, and she says, how is it? I can't remember if it's a sword or an axe or something. How are you looking after it? What kind of oil are you using all that bit. Yeah, that was.
I think it's similar to the D&D film. It very much doesn't take itself too seriously, but not to the extent where it's not grounded. Like there's still it's a less grounded than the D&D movie, I'd say, but it's still. Because I don't like things that take themselves. I don't like things that take themselves not seriously to the extent that, like, less, how do I care?
Less grounded than that is something that's fucking less grounded than a D&D movie. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know what you mean because
what I mean is just to be clear about what I mean is like in D&D when they're in peril, it's real peril, and you care.
Yeah,
like it's not comedy to the extent that like even the peril is. I would say like for example like the Princess Diaries.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's I enjoy that film, but like even the peril there is silly. Like you're never feeling a sense of tension or anything like that.
Okay.
And that gets away with it for some reason, but generally, I want the dramatic bits to be grounded, even if you're doing a comedy thing.
Yeah, that's fair. I love the bit where what's the other kid, the third kid, the friend of the family, Alistair.
Yeah.
When he gets turned into a brain and it just like he just stays as a brain forever, like that.
He's just a giant brain monster.
He's just there. And nobody comments on it. Nobody says anything. That's just happened. I love it.
The woman that plays his mum, Alistair's mum. She's the Templar woman. You know, obviously,
that's really
what she looks like without all the makeup and effects and stuff.
Okay, yeah. I did notice that the Templar woman is like three different actors, right?
The voice, and the two different physical people. Actually, I wonder if there wasn't a different one, but it's hard to tell because the woman that she teleports from Earth.
Yeah.
And then puts into like a little cube and squishes to the size of a cube that size.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure because you only see her for a minute. I meant to go back and have a look to see if that was the same actress that she uses the body of later, like she infused DNA or something, or if that was something. Because she looked a bit different, but then again, obviously that woman was scared and like bedraggled and like that.
And
but the other one was all, you know, tidy.
Speaking of the bit where she squishes that lady in the cube, something I liked about the film is it doesn't draw anything out. Like the temple, you see the temple, you see Psycho Gorman, he's clearly evil. You see the Templars, and they don't do the thing where like they look good for a while and then you find out they're just as evil. They're just straight evil, totalitarian slave masters.
Yeah.
You're not trying to lead me along on anything. It's just here's the players.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I absolutely love when he made the cop a kind of
he just keeps shooting his gun.
Yeah.
Oh, he makes a sort of zombie out of the cop. Yeah, yeah.
Was it please kill me or whatever?
Oh yeah,
that's not romantic.
But one thing I don't understand about the film, maybe you can point this out, right? So when he comes up against his like foes, and there's the fighting, the little fighting scene in the woods.
Oh, with his old gang.
With his old gang. Yeah,
yeah.
The zombie cop sort of changes sides.
Yeah, well, because he hates Psycho Gorman for what he's done
to him. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
He's not enjoying what's been done to him. best line in the film, I think. I remember when we watched this with Wing, and he pissed himself at this line, and I think this is the funniest line in the film, is when Psycho Gorman picks up the magazine and he's like, I don't care for hunky boys. Or do I?
and then later on, that gets a wee callback later, and it's he's got his magazine. I can't remember what it is, but it's something to do with my hunky boys. Don't rip the magazine or something.
I think blood just goes on them.
That's it, blood goes on. Yeah, my hunky boys.
Speaking of blood, they're like some very fun. Like clearly, they just wanted to do a bunch of gore effects, and they're very like 80s. They're very practical.
Unrealistic.
But unrealistic
in a fun way. Yeah.
But satisfying, chunk. You know,
The one
like a computer game sort of thing.
Yeah, the one where he opens his jaw and eats the henchman.
yeah, because that's
warrior's death.
Warrior's death. Oh. Yeah, to be eaten by the by your foe. That's a warrior's death.
But it's like, even though it's obviously like it's so obviously funny. Like silly effects. Like it's still kind of
it hits.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's disturbing despite looking fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, well, one of the reasons I meant to watch it, I should have watched it again last night instead of starting to watch another film, because I wanted to catch some more of the references, because that's one thing. Well, I don't know if I've seen any more things by Stephen Kostansky, so I need to look up what else he's done. I'll do that in a minute. I don't know if there are any. Right, I'll have to look at his page. Anyway, but yeah, the references are many, many, many references. Is this a picture? We've got a picture.
It's so.
I mean, when he's eaten.
Worse, as in more disgusting, on a still.
Yeah, it does.
In motion, it's sillier.
Yeah, in motion, because it's kind of like cutting back to different viewpoints and stuff.
I love the expression of the eating, though.
But, references. So, yeah, there's a lot of references to other things in it. And the two biggest ones are both Calvin and Hobbes ones. I'm a massive Calvin Hobbes. Crazy Ball is Calvin Ball.
Oh, that is, isn't it?
That's
Calvin
Ball. And the little red...
The trolley.
Trailer thing. Which she treats like a, you know, like you would treat a cuddly toy or something like that. You know, she doesn't just treat it like a little trailer.
Oh, so it is a little Calvin and Hobbes in the back of the van. In that, like, she's Calvin and Psycho Gorman's Hobbes.
Yeah, in a way. I think there's definitely a sort of Tom and Jerry, Looney Tunes-y type sort of feel to bits of it as well. There was another big reference. That's why I wanted to watch it again. There was another really big reference, and I can't remember what it was. But you pointed out, Drew, that basically it's E.T., but...
E.T. but good.
E.T. but good, yeah. An obvious it's a reference to something I don't enjoy, but the obvious reference is like the town is called Spengler, which is...
Oh, that was it. It was a Ghostbusters reference as well. That was it.
Can I talk briefly about its budget?
Go for it.
Comparison. I think it's 850,000, right?
Oh, is that its budget?
Which is a lot of money.
But not for a film.
For context, June 2, 190 million. One episode of the current or most recent episode of Doctor Who, 14 million. This is all in dollars.
Wow, really?
One episode of Euphoria, 25 million. I mean, there are smaller budget. There's another indie low budget film I like called Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes, and that was 20 grand. That was really impressive. Wow. But that's set in two rooms, really. Whereas this has a lot of location shooting and a lot of special effects. But yeah, so tiny budget even compared to one episode of Doctor Who. So it's impressive.
That is impressive. Like, how do they do that?
Rosie's just messaged about.
She's listening in, is she?
What did she say? I can't switch
over. I can't believe I'm Twilight shamed.
Three is fine. Oh, no, she's listening to yesterday's podcast.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's what you mentioned.
Yes. Well, let's shame her worse. What I've noticed about Rosie is she's a fucking idiot.
Well, the cookies thing really set you off, didn't it?
The soft cookies thing's really done it for me. But aren't cookies... You see, the thing is, I've been thinking about this cookie thing. Sorry, this is a reference to other episodes of other things as well.
Sorry, Rosie just come in. I could have a cup of tea if you like.
I'd love a cup.
Oh, thank you, my love.
He looks cautious. Like, right. Oh no, we're slagging her off.
I got a
cup of tea, well done. the cookie, yeah. See, before cookies were more of a thing here, so I'd say sometime in the 90s, American biscuits, i.e. cookies, became a thing here. But before that, if you'd said to me in the early 90s, a cookie, I actually would think about a soft biscuit. That's what I would call a cookie.
A cookie wasn't anything to... I would say the 80s, but a cookie wasn't anything to me until... So for any Americans listening, when we say cookie... So what you call cookies, we obviously call biscuits. What we call a good cookie is a subset of biscuit. It's a very crunchy thing with chocolate chips in it. Like a crunchy, crumbly, crumbly biscuit with chocolate chips in it. That's what we call a cookie.
But the American one is the soft one. And that's when, in the 90s sometime, they started coming over here. Because I remember in Glasgow,
the place that
sold those kind of things. And it was like it looked like a big cookie to us. A big, a big chip cookie or whatever. But it was soft.
Yeah, dear America, fuck off.
I wasn't sure then, but,
Okay.
It's always funny when, I can't remember what it was. There was some... Oh, I know what it was. I was watching. There's a guy I watch on PeerTube who does little electronics videos, and generally once a week, one of his videos is that he gets like bits and pieces from like what do you call it? What's that Chinese thing?
Tmu,
Alibaba,
AliExpress.
Alibaba.
Alibaba. Well, that's where the name comes from.
The group. Yeah.
And it is the name. Yes, the name of the organization. That's it. Anyway, point is, he does these things, but he always has like a can of beer, and it's all he's Canadian, so quite often they're Canadian ones, but they're not like big brands. They're usually sort of craft beers or small local breweries, all that kind of thing. And they've always got like tasting notes, that kind of thing. And he was talking about something that was, I think it was a stout or a dark beer or something, but he was talking about it tasting like biscuit. And I'm not sure even now whether he meant the North American sense or real biscuits. Because what's biscuits in America is like
it's a savory scone. It's very much a scone, but it's savory, and you put gravy. You have gravy on it.
Yeah.
Is it gravy on a scone?
A scone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, I've got the actress there before and after. Mm-hmm. It's the same woman.
It is the same one, right? But I think in the first one, her hair's... Oh, no, yeah, as soon as you see it again. That's why I was going to watch it again and say, oh, it's the same one. But obviously the first time she's, like, terrified, you know, and everything. And then the other time she's, like, all cool and calm and her hair's tied up and she's, like, businesswoman, cop thing person.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just... So, but yes, well done.
Mystery solved.
Well done, sir. Excellent. Another reference that I've just remembered. The planet that they're from is Gygax.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Which is spelt slightly differently, but it's, you know, Gary Gygax, the D&D inventor, one of the D&D inventors, yeah.
I like that it had a crawl at the beginning that was clearly...
Yeah, that was excellent, yeah.
Again, another thing that 80s films did.
A crawl?
Also, another film...
The text at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But another one, you know what, that crawl reminded me mostly of Conan the Barbarian. That style of crawl. But also...
Beastmaster or something like that.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Freaky Tales has a crawl as well, actually.
Okay, cool. I need to watch that.
Yeah. Also, actually, at the beginning of the film, the music sounded very, very much like Power Rangers. Like, there were a few Power Rangers references.
Yeah. It's got a Power Rangers-y feel. Yeah. I really enjoyed the dad character.
He was irredeemably
useless,
lazy. But like when because it's classic. Like they wake up the thing, they're nervous about what's happened. They go to bed, and then the kids are like, "Dad, do monsters exist?" And the dad's like, "Well, humans are the real ones." He's like, "Humans are the real monsters." Always says the wrong thing. But it works. Like he and Mimi, like a kind of peas in a pod. Like they get along. Like they get each other, and I enjoy that.
Well, that's what you see. You see at the end when they're on different sides. That kind of like that is so genius.
Yeah. He gives her a little bit of advice at the end. He tells a story about when a man lured him into a van with baseball cards, and I went with him, and it was the best decision of my life. And I think she responds with, "Yeah, that makes sense."
Yeah. And also, he makes a sword out of gore, which I kept thinking of as a pork sword.
That bit made so little sense because he sort of had to dodge around her sword.
He pulled her spine out and stuff, you know, and she's fighting with her sword again, yeah.
I love it.
It's just so silly, yeah.
It is a very silly film, like, if you don't like it. It's silly without being... I have a low tolerance for silly, and I enjoyed it greatly, so it didn't cross that line for me. I think it does hinge on whether you enjoy the performance of the... I don't want to go too hard on the performance of a 12-year-old girl, you know what I mean? But, like, it hinges on how much you enjoy
it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of the film rests on her and how well she does, you know.
No, I will say she actually nailed it. There are a few, I think direction might be like a big part of it, but there were like little acting moments, like the one that got me and Rosie. I'll throw it up on the screen. It'll be like this one when she was in her bed, just like
she ends that scene with something like "You're dismissed" or something.
But I thought she was going to suddenly pull the cover, like as soon as the parents went out of the room, I thought she was going to pull the covers in and have, like, I don't know, a chainsaw or something, just from the way she'd been acting, you know?
Yeah. I was definitely getting a lot of the Power Rangers vibes from it, but in a way that I really like.
That
dad character as well, like, he made everything so awkward in a...
He made things worse constantly, didn't he?
Like, and
the first scene you see him with really is when he's about to, he's like, okay, I'll dig the hole.
I'll fill the hole back in. Who's going to fill the hole back in? Well, I'll do it. Oh, no, I've hurt my hand. Can't do it.
And the bit where he's having the argument on the toilet.
Yeah, like you say, there's a lot of genuine laughs. Like,
Oh, see, honestly, like, just re-reviewing it, I'm kind of tempted to push it up to an 8.
And I mean, it's even got there's an alien monster in their house and they're all screaming and panicking, but in the next scene they're deciding what clothes to wear and stuff.
They do an 80s montage
of him trying changing, different clothes.
Yeah. Changing room montage, and it was amazing.
They play
on a lot of cliches without being clearly it's not a parody in the sense that they're not mocking these things. That it's a loving
parody of some
the things that 80s low budget 80s did.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? Here's why it doesn't get a 10 from me is entirely down to the fact that I don't like the setting. I don't like Earth. Yeah. Overrated. So I think this is going to become most apparent in our generational differences here, because if the era, it's just, it feels like a lot of the references are just a little bit before my time, just a tiny bit. I never enjoyed a lot of the, like, so I really liked like the Power Rangers growing up, love that. But I was never into like E.T. And a lot of the stuff, like same thing with Stranger Things, really quite enjoyed the story, but
the references were after your time, so they were like references.
Stranger Things is the dumb way of, it's just, do you remember this,
like, it's a little bit over the top, that one.
I don't think you need to. It's not like you need to get the reference, because it's really referring to 80s B movies. Conan wasn't quite a B movie. Beastmaster, like all that ilk. You don't need to have seen those to get. It's not like you will miss the point of the film if you haven't seen those, I don't think. But they do.
It's just the feel of it more than the actual content of it. Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like, there's a lot. Like the film itself. I'm not going to fault it, because the stuff that it like bases itself on is stuff that I wasn't particularly fond of.
Like
the Ghostbusters, never really cared for the Ghostbusters, never really cared much for Jurassic Park, although that's,
that's objectively wrong. Yeah.
Like, Jurassic Park, it just doesn't do it for me in the same way it does for everyone else. It's a perfectly good film. It's all right. I like Wayne Knight in it.
At the time, though, it was mind-blowingly... Dinosaurs are great. He doesn't like dinosaurs because they ate his girlfriend. You've grown a hand back. How do you manage that?
Oh, yeah, well, they can do wonders with, CGI on Discord now, isn't it?
You saw it in The Expanse. You get the arm.
Oh, that's you got the hand, yeah.
Yeah. Wooden hand.
In a lot of ways, it's a B movie ish.
Well, of course, it's a B movie. It is by every definition a B movie. Yeah.
Well, a B movie as opposed to like as a slightly separate category or subcategory of a low budget movie. It's clearly a low budget movie, but not every low budget movie is B movie is a ticket kind of thing, right?
What's the difference between a B movie and a budget movie then?
I think B movies originally were, what were the exact details? Like there was the A movie that was shown. Yeah, so the A movie was shown at like the prestige times, and then the B movie was to run during the times when like it was cheaper to go and see and something like that, right? In the history of it, I think. I've not remembered that well, but that kind of thing. So there were lower budget movies, often with like sensational, like killer ants. Premise, like the clickbait of movies, essentially.
That's a good way of putting it. Clickbait of movies. Yeah. Have you seen any other Stephen Kostansky films?
I don't think so.
No, I'm just looking through some of them, and they look and sound like you probably would like them as well.
Okay.
It looks like he's got form, as it were, for the style that he does. Here's one here that's. $1,000 Canadian, the budget.
Wow.
Science fiction action film with a $1,000 Canadian budget. Is it short or is it? No, it's 70 minutes runtime.
Oh, also, I do want to shout out to this movie being about 90 minutes long, 95 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good length for it. I never felt like it lulled. Comedy films do tend to be on the shorter side because you get like laughter fatigue and joke fatigue. But honestly, that's perfect length for a film.
Vast of Night as well, which is Hamish and I'm talking about. Vast of Night also is bang on 90 minutes. I think we need to return to 90 minutes. Some films need to be longer, and I'm cool with that. But every fucking Marvel film doesn't need to be 2.5 hours long. It's exhausting. Like, we need to go back for... If you're making,
there's nothing in them.
Exactly.
Those films. Yeah. 90 minutes should be the default again.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, they just want to make cartoons, you know? Everything's
Precious cartoons.
They just want the face of the famous people. And then it's just all animated by computers.
Another thing I want to say about
this. There's not much acting either.
Something we're talking about, Hamish, where this is another film where I don't think it's nailed down when it's set. Like, it's not like it's trying to be any, it's not like it's trying to not be right now, but you don't see a single mobile phone.
And they've got CRT screens and
CRT,
stuff.
CRT TV.
Okay,
There's a lot of films now where they're just deleting mobile phones because they ruin so many.
Okay, free card for some stuff.
I was working this out. I reckon, based on the little gadgets and things that I've seen, I'm going to say late 90s this was set in.
I think the cars looked contemporary, though. Like, I don't think it's any particular... I think it's intentional.
It's got a bit of a mix.
Hang on a minute.
I would give some of it early 80s to mid 80s.
I don't think it's... So the reason why, and I'm going to check to see if I didn't miss, because I only saw this like as I was watching it. I didn't like pause it and do CSI on it. The games console that they play, I think, is an N64. As in, it has N64 controls. The game on it, I'm not entirely sure.
I think when they name a game, I don't think it's a real game, but I think it's something 64, which implied like that was a pattern on the Nintendo 64. But I think it's a little bit how kids remember time.
Oh, like, yeah.
Really that's
you don't
a
remember
good
the
point.
Era
well
you're
done.
Growing up as
Damn you for thinking of that. That's good.
That's
excellent.
And also, I think this film gets kids. It gets kids how kids... I mean, it's exaggerated, of course, but it gets how kids into it. Like, the opening scene where they're playing Crazy Ball, and, like, I love it when they do the cut where, like, the dramatic music is playing while they're playing Crazy Ball, and then it cuts to the mum watching it, and it just looks silly. Kids' imaginations and the way kids are like it's kind of bullying but kind of not. They love each other, you know. It's like it's complex and it's interesting. It's not just not the saccharine like schmaltzy version of like kids siblings in particular.
I know what you mean. It's also I love the bit that you couldn't keep remembering the kid's name. Luke.
That's how Luke's name is like, and the boy. Her brother, Mimi's brother.
He literally says, I think the first time he literally says, "You should know my fucking name."
Yeah, know my name, but there's also a bit where doesn't he name the entire family apart from Luke at one point near the end? He names like mum and dad by first names, and then he goes
boy,
Mimi's brother.
So it's got lots of silly little running jokes in it like that. Yeah.
Also, one scene that I thought just was a cool scene, I don't even... When they were doing the garage band, they were just singing in their garage.
Oh, that was the other montage bit I forgot about. I've forgotten about that. But
It's interesting that they... I think they must have cut stuff, because I assume that was more tied in at some point, because it just cuts to that out of nowhere and then cuts away from it.
So does the clothes montage, really.
But that's... I imagine there was some subplot about them wanting to do music, like something, and then it comes together in some way when Alistair's turned into a brain playing the keyboard. I love it nonetheless.
I just thought it was like a little slice of life type of thing, you know, just...
Yeah, possibly, yeah. It might, yeah.
And it's very, very referential as well, that one. Like, it's got a little bit of, you're going to know the movies it riffs off better than me.
Bill and Ted and stuff.
Yeah, Bill and Ted, sort of.
But again, it's not, they don't do a schmaltzy song about feelings and love and how teamwork brings you together. It's just, fuck everybody, fuck you, I'm the best, fuck off. It's Mimi's anthem, it's Mimi's internal fucking.
Yeah, it's her internal dialogue. fuck you.
Yeah.
For clarity, no, they don't get a 12-year-old girl to run around shouting "fuck you." She uses the word "frig."
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, makes sense, I guess.
Which he says Frigg, but I'm hearing part.
Explaining
to Psycho Gorman why it's such a great word. Like, you're hearing part.
But also, isn't Frigg, like, also a filthy word?
Yeah, I think it's one of Americans. I think Americans don't know what it means, so they think
it's just wank. Like, they have wank. They don't quite...
Bollocks. I mean, bollocks isn't usually rude over here, but it's... I know there's an episode... I remember I saw this as a kid. There's an episode of The Flintstones where Fred Flintstone just, like, he stubs his toe or something. He goes, oh, bollocks. And, like, as a seven-year-old, I was like, oh, Mom, bollocks.
Yeah, I mean, well, bollocks.
I used me marriage with children. You remember that?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Peggy was from a place called Wanker County. Where she was from, and it was like, every few episodes they'd mention, oh yeah, from some blah 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 Wanker County, and you're like,
love that. Married with Children came up when I was just trying to get an overview of the budget of things just to make a comparison. And yeah, Married with Children was $10 million an episode as well.
Was that around this time?
I think that's in today's money. I don't think that's... But
even then, there wasn't special effects or shit.
It was a one-room soap opera, basically.
Yeah, it was pretty much one-room. Sometimes they were in his shoe shop.
Yeah.
Occasionally they're in the street, you know.
It was later on, though, that the shoe shop was brought in. It's a great show, though. I rewatched it. I remembered liking it when I was younger, and it's one of those where, like, does it still hold up? I didn't watch much, but I watched two or three episodes, and I was like, yep, that still stands up.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's got the feeling, it feels a bit like a 70s sitcom, in as much as you'll think, oh, it's like, you know, Benny Hill sort of level of humor. And you think, is that going to be horribly misogynistic and, you know.
Well, it's different in that the wife has a voice.
Yeah, Peggy's, yes. So yeah, I think if the wife was quiet as well and the daughter was still like silly, brainless bimbo girl, then that would probably balance it all off. Or put it off balance rather. But yeah, the power she's got. I mean, all these kind of things are based on the same. They're all the same sitcom they've had for decades in America.
Yeah.
You know, you had I Love Lucy, and then you've got the Flintstones and the Jetsons, and then you've got the Simpsons and Family
Guy.
There's
one I've mentioned before that does something really interesting with that dynamic called Kevin can fuck himself. It's star, but it's Kevin can go fuck himself. That one's, I've talked about it before, so I won't talk about it again, but it's just read the premise, it's really interesting.
Okay. Also, for those of you that don't know, I think Frigg means finger banging, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like,
are you like kneeling next to her?
Well, yeah, I get it, like, it's just...
So over there.
Well, because...
Oh,
well,
don't go into details, please.
It's okay.
Camera's there. He's here.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I know that is because of the James Joyce unpublished letters.
I thought you were going to say because of the song Friggin' in the Riggin'.
Oh, okay. From 1882 to... Right, so basically... Oh, it's on archive.org, the letters of James Joyce.
That's so highbrow.
Not if you read them. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's highbrow. This is the literary. Yes. He basically.
I remember my mum went to Ireland at one point, and she went to like some stuff with James Joyce.
She loved the good frigging.
Yeah.
She went to places where James Joyce was born or whatever. I can't remember exactly which place he was born, but it was. So she bought a copy of Ulysses, and I thought, that's never getting, you know, I tried it, and I can't.
Yeah.
And I thought, my mum is never going to be. She's not going to be there. Yeah, Friggin' in the Riggin' is like a traditional dirty folk song, really. But the Sex Pistols did a version.
I'm just trying to find, like, the best James Joyce letters. He wrote a lot of letters.
You talked over each other there, I missed.
I think the Beastie Boys referenced that as well. There's a Friggin' in the Riggin' lyric in Beastie Boys somewhere.
Oh, right, okay. I'll have to check that out.
But yeah, James Joyce love letters to his dirty little fuck bird. Okay, just to get an idea, I'm going to put a picture of James Joyce, the filthy guy. Right up here, and I'll just do that for the that's on Disgraceful man. What okay, my darling little covent girl, there is something star too near the earth for I am still in a fever fit of animal desire. Today I stop short often in the street with an exclamation whenever I thought of the letters I wrote you last night and the night before. They must read awful in the cold light of day. Perhaps their coarseness has disgusted you. I know you are a much finer nature than your extraordinary lover and thought it was you yourself. You hot little girl. You first wrote to me saying that you were longing to be fucked by me, yet I suppose the wild filth and obscenity of my reply went beyond all bounds of modesty. When I got your express letter this morning and saw how carefully you are of your worthless Jim, I felt ashamed of what I had written. Yet now, secret sinful night has come down again on the world, and I am alone again writing to you, and your letter again is folded before me on the table. Do not ask me to go to bed, dear. Let me write to you, dear. That's actually quite a tame bit of it.
Love it. Love it. The letters between Napoleon and Josephine were filthy.
I love,
I wish we could be filthy and like that, like poetic at the same time. Right.
It was you who slid your hand.
We just say rude words.
Yeah. It was you who slid your hand down inside my trousers and pulled my shirt softly aside and touched my prick with your long, tickly fingernails and gradually took it all, fat and stiff as it was, into your hand and frigged me slowly until I came off through your fingers, all the time bending.
Went both ways.
This episode's taking a turn. He's just going to read the whole thing.
All the time bending me over and gazing me out of your quiet, saint-like eyes. It was your lips, too, which first uttered an obscene word. I remember well that night in bed in Pola. So there we go. There's some literature. I'll put a link I don't know. I'll put a link if anyone else wants to. There we go.
Yeah, check out the link down below.
Check out the link, yeah. So there we go. Yeah, if you're watching this, I'm probably not going to be bothered to put the link in the description. Maybe I will, who knows? So you have to type all of that out, I'm afraid.
Oh, they can see this, so they can...
They can see the chat, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you Google James Joyce, Dirty Little Fuckbird, that'll probably get you.
That'll probably get you, yeah.
And you should. We should all read more literary filth.
Literary filth. Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch. I forgot there was an animation to go with the Sex Pistols frigging in the rigging.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, the Sex Pistols, they always disappoint me because they sold out, didn't they?
Oh, they're so disappointing.
Oh, I mean,
the music was enjoyable.
Yeah, but, John Lydon is a complete fucking hypocrite.
Yeah.
He'll do anything for money, that man. He always made out that he was some sort of rebel, but you know, they just got lucky that they happened to get the bit of publicity.
Yeah.
You know, there was lots of better bands and...
Well, see, okay, Hamish, you're the music guy, because this one always kind of irked me a little bit, but I don't know if I'm being a bit reactionary. Rage Against the Machine. Now, I don't hate their music as far as music goes, but the fact that they were signed by Sony Records, I think it's Sony Records, just kind of underwrote.
Like a protest thing. I love that it's a protest thing every Christmas. Let's send Rage Against the Machine to number one to make Sony a bunch of money. That'll show them.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that against like Leona Lewis, who was also signed by...
No, they were on Epic.
Oh, Epic. Is that the same?
I'm just about to check. Epic is part of Columbia, parent Sony. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah. So, because I know that Simon...
At the time they were... they were part of... So, no, wait a minute. At the time Rage Against the Machine came around, they were... There seems to be a gap in the dates on this. I'm trying to work it out.
I mean, it's Sony now.
Sony. It was basically Sony, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I think broadly, just as a broad pronouncement, we just shouldn't look to celebrities for politics or political views. Like, musicians, film stars, royalty, don't look to celebrities for political opinion.
Well, see, here's the thing, right, though, but like, art is often a political expression, so if they're singing about their beliefs, that's perfectly valid. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to treat that
perfectly fine, but it should carry very little weight as like a political thesis.
Oh, no, well,
Fish brought this up quite a lot. He talked about it a lot because, obviously, I mean, you probably don't know his music unless you've caught a few in my show. Mm-hmm. But he writes a lot of personal stuff. a lot of like in relationships and all that stuff. But a lot of his stuff is about, you know, social politics and capitalism and all that, you know, and war and everything. But he doesn't. He made a point, and he said at the time when the Scottish Independence Referendum Committee said, "There's a couple of reasons why he didn't really publicly, you know, because he obviously is better known in Scotland even than he is anywhere else. He didn't publicly want to sort of get involved too much because A, he's, you know, he's fully accepting of the fact that he works in a capitalist industry and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't feel that he's got the the moral high ground when he tries to talk about capitalism sometimes.
Yeah, but
and also talking about the when he was talking about the politics, he said, although I have political, you know, opinions, and he puts them, you know, he puts them in his music, he doesn't really like talking about it because it's for the same sort of reason that back to the sort of you know, he's not in poverty or anything, you know, he's not on the edges, and also he at the time his now wife is German, and they were going to move to Germany anyway, and he didn't want to be one of these fucking expat.
Yeah,
you know, nationalists and or anything, you know, like what a fucking, you know, Sean Connery was exactly what I was trying to think of there. Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, of course, everybody's entitled to have a political view, and their art might reflect their political views, but it should carry no more weight than your baker's opinion or your friend's opinion or your milk lady's opinion, or
that's the problem, especially these days of, you know.
You can't put a very sophisticated political thesis in a song. If you're interested in politics, read political.
However,
the problem is that's what gets because I was having a let's call it a discussion. Yeah. Let's call it a discussion with two friends of mine, a couple that are slightly older than me. They're about in their early 60s. And I was saying, I just can't believe that people vote for the Conservative Party, and even you know, unless they're like mega rich, because you're voting against your own interest. Mm. And then we got talking a little bit, and she just started spouting little, you know, 2-4 word phrases that you know, soundbite bollocks that's been used in the news, like, you know, shirkers and workers and all that kind of, you know, things like that was her political opinion, you know, her political discussion. And I thought, there's no point here, is there? There's no point.
Yeah.
And as well, that same couple, the guy, I'm not naming their names, they might watch this, I doubt it, but they might see this. Yeah. But, you know, it's just what was said. I'm not dissing them in any way, well, apart from them. Anyway, I hadn't seen him for a long time. And I went and blah, blah, blah. And for some reason, politics came up. And he's going, oh, yeah, you'll be happy with this lot then. And I was like, what do you mean? And he thought, because I was basically socialist.
Because it's Labour.
Like, because it's Labour that I somehow... Yeah, it's like, and it was that's it. It's just, it's just a tribe. It's just a pick a side. It's not, you know, there's no nuance to it. And that's what frightens me, is people do go into a voting booth with no more political insight than that. Oh, this part is the red one, that one's the blue one, that one's the yellow one. Ah, right, you know, and it's like... And then the other thing he said, and the thing he said that really struck me, though, wasn't just that he assumed I would be for Labour because I'm against Conservatives. The thing that he said that really struck me is, because I think I sort of tried to explain why I don't like Labour, the current Labour Party. as well. And his answer to me talking about a few details, you know, going into a little bit of detail, his answer to that was, there's no utopia to be found. Just give up. Don't, you know, you can't, you know, you're not going to get. And I was like,
that's what you get after the grinding, after the, you know, 70 years of grinding. Fucking
Well, I mean, I shouldn't do it, but I've got into the point of I subscribe to a newspaper, or the online version of a newspaper called The National.
I read the Welsh one.
Independence. Yeah. Same group, isn't it? And I've got into, you know, making comments on that. And, you know, one of my comments there was, I can't remember what it was, but I remember what it was now. It was about, somebody was talking about one of the journalists, that we were talking about two journalists who do work for lots of different places, including The Guardian. And, you know, somebody thought I was being disingenuous by saying something along the lines of, even Guardian readers listen to George Monbiot. And I said, no, that was my actual point. I wasn't saying that's a bad thing. I was saying that Guardian readers, the Guardian by and large is very much mainstream Westminster centric. The broad editorial of the Guardian is almost, it's, you know, you could call it centrist if you like. I think it's the best I can give it. But people treat it like it's a, some sort of radical left wing paper, and everything, because
it's the most left wing mainstream paper in the UK, but it's centre right at best.
Best centre right, yeah, thank you. Yep, exactly.
With a variety in you know, some articles. Their editorial is
centre-right. That's the point I was trying to make to say that. Yeah. It was that, Georges Monbiot does write for them, and he's a great guy. I really like him, really respect him. Do you ever watch his video? You don't like him?
I'm not a fan.
I think he's very well thought. I don't think he is.
No, I don't think so at all.
But yeah, anyway, but the point is that, they let certain people do guest columns and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they think, oh, well, if Georges Monbiot and what's the wee guy? He's a bit of a rage baiter to sometimes.
The wee guy?
I think you mean the one Chris doesn't like, whose name
Owen
I also
Jones.
I don't like him.
he's a bit of a cosplay socialist, I think, you know.
I don't think he's a cosplay. I just find him very irritating.
His arguments are fine. He's just personally irritating.
I would agree with a lot of what he says, but the way he says it and the way he just stands back and goes, I'm correct now. And that's it. And it's that's the sort of attitude he's got. But again, in that same article, I made two different comments. One of them was that one about the difference between articles and guest writers in the Guardian and the actual Guardian. But the other one was another comment. Somebody had said that Owen Jones this time, that he doesn't actually think Scotland should be independent, and he doesn't mention Scotland. He talks about socialism in the articles and stuff that he writes, but he doesn't mention Scottish independence. And, you know, you don't have to. It's not you know, that's not the only thing in that paper. But somebody else said, I've met him a few times and I spoke to him about something like this, and he doesn't think Scotland should be independent. He's, you know, because that'll leave them stuck with the Tories forever. And I said, oh, yeah, I've got friends like that that say they didn't want Scotland to get independence because then England would be stuck with the Tories. And I said, wake up. You've had the same fucking government in England for the last 47 years anyway, no matter what they're calling themselves or who. And Scotland did not vote for, you know, almost constantly Scotland did not vote for what the British government.
I mean, a little bit for Thatcher, but yeah, everybody voted for fucking Thatcher at that
point. Some tiny bits. Well, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I get the argument. I don't think that's a valid argument. It's not a valid argument to say if you leave, our government will be worse. Like, that's not your problem.
But the worry is valid.
I'd rather see a unified socialist Great Britain than us all splitting up. And you know, everywhere outside of London is equally...
If I thought that was possible, not think that's... Because the problem is...
People in the north of England are just as fucked by London as Scotland.
Exactly. That came up in the discussion as well. People outside of...
And the working class in Scotland and the working class in England have the exact same problems. And we do have a shared culture. Yeah.
Well, that's what...
But yeah, if I was Scottish, if the choice is hope for that in some distant future versus let's go independent and sort ourselves out now, I'd of course vote independent.
Well, when you start talking like that... When you start talking like that, I just think, well, why not Europe? If we're going to have international socialism, why not do it through... Why not Europe? Why is it UK?
Scotland didn't want to leave the EU.
No, it didn't.
If you told everybody in Scotland that the EU referendum, because nobody believed it until it happened. If you told everybody in Scotland, right, the EU, if the referendums had happened the other way around, Scottish independence referendum would have definitely gone yes.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Has massively changed people's opinion since then.
I would say we're talking about an already existing political union versus, I mean, there isn't political union across Europe, and what the European Union, what it is a, it's a, it's a free, it's a free market, liberal, neoliberal.
Still the same problem. Ideally,
I'd love a unified world with a socialist government.
Borders and stuff are stupid.
We've got to work through the democratic institutions that exist, and the EU is not.
And that's why I think Scottish independence is a better position than just hoping that enough people that vote against their own interests will join that. They haven't for 47 years.
It's been very close. It's been very close every time.
It's not as close now. I think from the polls I've seen, independence has pulled ahead quite a bit.
It varies. It varies from poll to poll, though, which suggests that still it would be a toss up, and it always. You know, when it happens, when the powers that be campaign and propagandize against it, that always knocks the vote down a bit compared to the polls beforehand as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very good at scaring the right people.
Yeah. Look at what they're doing with Zach Polanski. Look how terrified they are.
During the last Scottish referendum, do you remember there was that one particular advert that was like a Scottish housewife, and she was like, "Oh, I don't know what to do. It's all so scary. I should do this." You know, like that's.
Yeah.
I felt insulted as a Scottish person, and I'm not a Scottish person. You know what I mean? It was patronising. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Not very brave heart of you, is it?
Yeah. Be an Australian. I mean.
Anyway, should we get back on the Psycho Gorman?
Let's.
Yeah, let's before. Yeah, sorry, I'm just getting something about the server and it's making me worry. But we're not on my server, so it's all right. It's all right. It's not. I know it's something else. Cool.
But yeah, no. I did find it quite amusing, and I'm sure this is a reference to something else in the garage band scene. Gorman was playing the drums, and is that not?
It's sort of.
It's Bill and Ted. That's it with the Grim
Bill
Reaper.
And Ted. Yeah, Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
That's the second Bill and Ted film, but yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Which I enjoyed.
That's not Bill and Ted 1. That's Bill and Ted 2.
Yeah. What did you make of the Bill and Ted 3?
Fine. Yeah, that was all right actually. Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. Unnecessary
with the daughters.
But more fun than expected.
Yeah.
Better than I expected. I'll give it that.
I think I saw Jay and I saw Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back 2 the other day.
Oh God!
Yeah. Hang on. It was a film. I saw it.
I quite liked Kevin Smith stuff, but it's diminishing returns as time went on. Yeah.
I enjoyed certain of his films at the time, but you cannot ignore at this point how much of a fucking prick he is.
I mean, sure.
It's the Bob reboot. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
That's right. I like Clerks.
I don't like Clerks. I like Dogma.
Clerks.
I like Dogma.
Clerks was all right,
I like Dogma, and I liked First Jane, Silent Bob. About it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like. What about More Rats?
Mm. I still like More Rats.
Yeah, I like More Rats.
But again, though, Jason. Not Jason Mewes, the other Jason. Jason. Oh, for fuck's sake, I forgot his name.
No, I know. Yeah.
Jason Lee. He's a in real life. He's a.
Isn't he?
Yeah. He's
Anyway, Psycho Gorman.
Yeah, Psycho Gorman. Okay, let's get back to Psycho Gorman.
I don't know what. What else do we have to say about it? Actually.
Oh, we set out on it. Well, I mean, we don't. We know your rate. What rating would you give it, Hamish, on a 1 to 10?
See, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I hadn't really got an answer yet.
Give a range if you want. Fine with that.
I'd rate it. See, I've only seen it once, which is not usually. If I'm going to rate something with only seeing it once, I'll have a very definite answer. And if I haven't, I'll need to see it a few times. And I feel like I'm going to see it a few times, but I'd
do a close reading.
I'd give an 8 at the moment.
Yeah, I think 8's. Yeah, I gave it a 10, but it's a 10 that's with respect to how much effort, how much creativity and effort went into the special. I mean, I enjoyed it greatly. Objectively, it's an 8, but budget and creativity and stuff bumps it up to a 10 for me. And the little girl performance was amazing. I loved it.
How do you do a thing where you put a TSV file in columns? Because if I do CAT and then I'm trying to get my movie list up, right?
Oh, I see, right, yeah.
And if I do CAT, it turns the tabs into spaces. So I'll show you.
If you just pipe it through column, that should make it a bit tidier.
How does column? column dash T, is it?
No, I think just column. Honestly, my dash T. I think puts it in tables. Yeah, no, you don't want the dash T. I don't think.
Column is not the right. It needs an argument. Oh no, wait, column dash T. No, dash T.
I don't know.
Welcome to the technical podcast.
You probably have to specify the separator for columns, and I can't remember doing that.
This is what it's got. This is what it's got for me at the moment. Yeah, no, it's still coming out the same. Yeah. Mm. Because if I do it in Vim, it's all right.
Yeah. What are you trying to do? Why do you need?
I'm trying to display it into a nice little table, so I can put it in the Discord, so I can show the people my thing. It could be like
do a bash thingy and make it into a little web page.
Yeah, I will do it in a bit. No, that's still the same.
Vim. I mean, that's fine. I can read that. It's perfectly fine.
There we go. That's not going to be correct, is it? No, that's the same. Can you do tabs in? How do you do tabs in this text box? See, this is the problem with TSVs. I like the idea of tabs, but then I press, like, tabs aren't like supported well on the phone, or they're not supported well. What about control tab? Nope. That's fucked everything up. What have I done? Oh shit. Oh no. What have I done? Okay.
Misses.
Okay, I'm back. I was trying. Yeah, I did control tab, and that fucked up stuff. I can't. How do I do a? How does one do a tab in the Discord chat?
Oh, you need to wrap the ticks around it. The back ticks.
If I want to press the tab key.
It won't do that.
I won't do that. Yeah, because it tries to change. It's a web page, so it tries to move around the focus.
Yeah. Okay. Shall I use a pipe? Does pipe work? Or
for the people watching and wondering what the hell he's talking about, this is Chris trying to make his version of Drew's film rating, film and TV.
No, I'm just. So it's so column dash T for table, and then we want.
So you try to do this in the command line.
Yeah.
To output the file. Yeah.
Yep. And then we want.
Can the viewer see this? Because I can't.
No. I mean, I can.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. I just wonder if that was. I can. Because otherwise, it's just.
There we go. Except I can't. Can I have the stream? It does. I can't. Well, that's what I've got so far. Let's see.
Are you streaming the right thing? Because we're just seeing the help output.
Yeah, I am. I'm
help
just
for column.
Okay, so
man, no, it's a helper.
Help, yeah. So I want the right dash T, and then
I see the cursor now.
And then table. What's the separator? Because if I do column dash T, that doesn't work, right? Because that treats space as tabs, right?
It will default to spaces, I think, as a separator. You can do dash S.
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait, here we go. I got it.
Are we wrapping up the show then? If we're, because this is
prime
even for us. Psycho Gorman. Well, overall.
Okay, all right. I'll show you the latest kerfuffle so far. There we go. That's what that did for me. So yeah, I don't even know what that is.
What, you've subtracted the letter T, the lowercase T, from everything.
Yeah, you want to wrap that backslash T in single quotes. I don't know whether Colin will accept that, but that's your answer, I think.
Okay.
Right. Linux experts, folks. That's us.
Nope, didn't do it. Okay, well, there we go.
Oh, it's taking it literally. It's taking it as T. Yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, yeah.
Why don't you just use Microsoft Office like everybody else?
I can't afford Microsoft Office. How much is that nowadays? £1 million?
Do you have to pay for Microsoft? I don't remember ever paid.
Cloud.
Mind you, I suppose I only ever had to use it in a workplace. So, yeah.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, 7, I don't know, really tempted to move it up to an 8. So if you see it as an 8 on the website...
this is why. Yeah, I mean... Oh man, this is the problem with giving something a rating at all. The amount of things you have to consider. But I think Drew put it. You know, Drew's better at justifying his rating. Not justifying. That sounds like it's like showing he's working, if you like. You know, when it comes to the ratings, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, you bumped it up because you appreciated the budget nature, the indie nature of it. I think it comes across, actually, when you're talking about all that, it comes across as something with a much bigger budget.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. The what? Yeah. When you compare, I mean,
a lot of the effects and things are like obviously done to be tongue in cheek. Not, you know, because some of the stuff is really quite impressive, and you go, oh yeah, that was obviously not real, but that looked more real than the other thing and stuff. You know, so it's interesting. The costumes were for the alien committee. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah,
they were excellent.
Oh,
yeah.
And I've just remembered.
What one was just like a gory skull face in a jar. It's clearly a hand puppet, but it's
that
like,
was
fun.
Mars Attacks. I thought that one.
Oh yeah.
But the I'm thinking. But you remember the fight with his former gang as well? There's that one thing. It's a sort of
tub.
It's like a gore robot. Oh, fuck knows what it is. A gore robot thing.
A washing machine.
It sprays blood or whatever it's meant to be everywhere and everything. And then he breaks it open and all the blood comes out of it and it dies anyway. So it's like, what's the logic of this weapon?
Well, it's like,
the feeling watching a lot of those 80s films. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You just went along with it, didn't you?
Well, the one that got me was why in the Power Rangers were the upgraded putties had these like big Zeds on their chest that if you hit them, they died. It's like they have these big buttons.
I've only watched a few episodes of Power Rangers. I think Hamish has watched Zero.
Zero.
But then, they have these like big buttons on their chest that
kill them.
That seems like a bad idea.
I was going to say something else that's gone in my head because you made me laugh about that now.
What was worse is that the older versions of the putties didn't have these buttons on them. They were put on them as like a
Mark II.
That was an upgrade, yeah. I don't know
Have they been working in software development for a long time or something?
Probably, that's it.
So that goes.
We've upgraded them to Windows 7. Windows.
So that the things are broken.
Yeah. God, man, I haven't used Windows in so long. It's so weird and complicated and just doesn't make sense. Is it on the cloud? Is it not?
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I sort of get where those people that are like, if Linux, you know, if it's not Linux, it's Mac. And it's like, well, I kind of get it now because it's like, you know, Windows is just locking, like, it's just awful.
Apple at the moment are vying for most evil corporation on the planet again, you know?
I'd rather
operators. I'd rather use Mac OS than Windows. I don't want to use either.
Oh, yeah, as an operator. But aren't they trying? I mean, I don't know this because I don't use it that often, but old Mac OS, classic Mac OS, whatever you want to call it, was actually all right, I thought. Up to 8. I don't know. I never used 9, I don't think, but up to Mac OS 8. 8 started to show regression over 7. Mm. And that's when they started that sort of, because, you know, you had a control panel in 7 where you, and little add-ons and things that you could have for setting up colour schemes and backgrounds. And that all kind of started to fall away. And, no, it's all this colour. This is what a Mac looks like. This is, you're not allowed to change it to suit you. It's a Mac. You know, you're it's like, what's that? What's the car company that don't like the cars being, Rolls-Royce. Like, if they see... An old if somebody from Rolls Royce sees like a Rolls Royce that's been neglected and left and stuff, they'll go and offer to buy it rather than their product being seen as. I've heard, I think it's 2 or 3 times I've heard stories like that. Like some farmer bought one when he had a lot of money, and it slowly but surely just sort of sat in his driveway and sort of decayed away. And somebody from Rolls Royce spotted it one day and said, "No." That's not on, and they bought it like for the price of it, as if it was a working thing. Mm. But
there's that clothing company that will explicitly refuse to give their clothes, put their clothes on sale, or give their clothes to any kind of charity that they don't sell, and they like burn them. It's like an American company.
That sounds about right. It's not what's that?
Oh, like
American Eagle or something, is it? It's not them, is it? They're evil for a lot of other reasons as well.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I can't remember the actual name of the company, so I don't want to throw under the bus.
No, American Eagle are evil for other things, though, so that's fine. Okay, I don't mind mentioning them. White supremacist pricks.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I found the answer.
Oh, okay.
To the command line thing. I thought I wasn't sure what you were talking about there for a minute.
I knew I'd used this before, but I just had to find it. That's what you need to make it, to tell it it's a tab for separate.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Column dash S space dollar back tick. No, it's not back tick, is it?
The dollar makes sure that it converts it to a tab before passing it to the column command.
So single quote backslash T single quote is a tab. Dollar, blah, blah, blah. Okay. See, in the olden days,
If you're pasting that into Discord, you'll need to do the back tick. You'll need to surround it with three back ticks, then three back ticks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's but back in the old days, we just put the ASCII code in for. Hey, well done. Yay! He's made a table.
There we go.
Like I was going to say that if I was trying to do that in BASIC back in the day or on any of these machines that are over there, I would, you know, just you'd use the characters, the command character string, CHR string, and in brackets the ASCII code for it.
Okay, yeah.
I think you can do something similar online with Bash, yeah. You can give it a character code. But anyway, I think we've exhausted the topic, I think. Should we?
Yeah.
I think so. Is there anything that I'm just trying, because I keep remembering little bits of it as we're just about to move on. Like, there's that.
Okay, well, one little bit that is sort of somewhat worthy of mention is when she like prays to God, the little scene where she prays to God and then
smashes the crucifix. I was shocked by that for an American film.
Yeah.
Well, it's Canadian.
Oh, is it right? Yeah.
Still, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, basically, I'll frig you, God, and breaks the crucifix. Why am I talking to you?
There's a new god in town or something. Like
she breaks several commandments in that one scene. Oh, man.
The zebra sunglasses were the right choice.
Yeah. But also, like at the beginning of the film, she was giving me kind of like Louise from Bob's Burgers vibes.
But then she kept
getting more evil as the show went, like.
There is a little, because there's never, like, it's very much spoilers for the ending, but like there's no redemption, like, because they hint towards like him learning about love, but he learns about love, he takes entirely the wrong message. He does spare those lives, but his intention is to kill the rest of humanity in their cold.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, there's blah, 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 blah. I'm reading from the Wikipedia entry. PG defeats Pandora and devours her. PG returns the now powerless gem, because the gem that she was using to control is no use, so he gives her it as a sort of, I don't know, keepsake, stating that after witnessing the family's affection for each other, he is now powered by love. He will use that love to destroy the galaxy, but promises to spare the family.
I love it. I recommend it to you, Hamish, and then the next morning, I think you just messaged, no lessons were learned. No lessons are learned by anybody in this film, and it's great.
Okay, so the subversion definitely,
here's a little what if for you. Right, most of the time she was completely ruthless and selfish, right?
Yeah.
But the one time she does show any actual compassion, it's for her brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though she's done a lot of horrible things to him up to that point, she does not let her
That's one of the reasons why I say it gets kids.
Authentic kids thing. Like,
she loves him all the way through. Clearly she loves, like, she, you know, he's a subordinate, and that's how older siblings see their younger siblings. They see them as a subordinate that you have right to order around.
No, she's younger than him, isn't she?
Oh, is she younger? Okay, well,
I'm sure she's younger than him.
Let's say the dominant sibling rather than the older sibling.
Not age as much as
the right to order him about. There's a moment where she tells the Psycho Gorman to kill him, and the Psycho Gorman picks him up by the throat or whatever.
It takes a few seconds
She loves him. It's I get it. It's sibling love. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. Brutal. I'll give you an example. There was a time when I thought it would be a funny prank I was probably about 9, so my sister was about 6 or something. I thought it'd be a funny prank to heat up a 2p coin on the stove, and then hand it to her and tell her it was a game where she had to grip it as hard as she could.
Oh, man.
I picked it up very quickly, put it in her hand, and she just burnt her hand badly. So it's that kind of evil, isn't it? I thought she'd grab it and then very quickly release it. But no, she grabbed it for a bit and then realized it was burning her hand and then dropped it. So it did more damage than I intended, let's say. Yeah.
Ah, dear. And she still puts up with you.
And that's how you lost Brother of the Year award.
Oh, I've got a question. We're talking about references and stuff. There's a good line from the dad about this as well. The place, they go through the woods. That's another sort of Calvin and Hobbes reference as well.
Also every indie film.
Yeah. But they go to the warehouse. Don't say what it is yet, because I want to tell the dad line, but afterwards. And they go to the warehouse, I forgot what I was going to say now. I wondered if that was a reference, though, that it used to be. And what it used to be a shoe factory. And they mentioned that two or three times throughout the film, and the dad goes, when he finally ends up out there, he goes, oh, I remember when this used to be a shoe factory. And wasn't there a little throwaway line near the beginning as well from either the brother or the sister? Like, well, this used to be a shoe factory until such and such happened and somebody died.
Local urban rumour.
But I wondered, that's what I was wondering, though, is the fact that it's specifically a shoe factory any sort of reference to anything? Or is that just like a bit of a joke that's where they found
in low budget films in general, I think it's a bit of a lazy trope to go like they're at the old X factory.
Right, okay.
That's definitely a thing, but I don't know whether it's shoe factory is a specific reference.
Oh man, I'm
laughing again. You know that I'm thinking about the gem thing. I've forgotten why the gem stops working. It's because he's now powered by. Yeah, it is that. It was powering him, and now he's powered by love. So he doesn't. The gem just fades and is just, you know.
And she gets to keep it, which is cute.
And then there's a definite sort of maybe Godzilla style reference at the end as well, where he's grown to be supersized and he's destroying the town.
Yeah.
On TVs in the background.
I missed that.
If you look at it's obviously just used perspective.
There's not to spoil this for the next episode, but there's a Godzilla bit in Crank in one of them, in two, I think.
Oh, it's Crank the next episode. Has that been set in stone?
Next episode, Crank 1 and 2.
Okay.
Crank and Crank 2.
The full Crank diptych, that was the word I was trying to think earlier. The Crank films very much make a diptych, and I feel like they should be watched together.
Okay. What's a diptych? Are you sure you don't mean diptych?
Like a tri-tip.
Like a triptych, but two.
Okay. I love the shock face of
that
this
how
one.
You say that? I'm not sure that's how you say that word.
The shock face at the end was amazing. Mm-hmm. That's funnier in motion because his jaw just drops and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's not very articulated puppet and his jaw just literally just falls under gravity.
Yeah, there's another one as well, which, a bit dark, but yeah.
Yes, that made me laugh as well. Yeah. All the aliens are great. All the council of less evil or more evil aliens is.
Yeah.
Well, that's a philosophical question for you. Who's more evil, Psycho Gorman or the Templars?
Well, see, I would instantly say the Templars because he's more sort of.
He's overt.
Overt and chaotic evil rather than oppressive.
I think I agree. Yeah. They're more lying about it. He's just like, I'm going to destroy it.
Yeah, they're claiming it's all some great and good.
I'd rather have honest evil.
Yeah, they're couching it all in like, we're the greater good and we're
also
correct.
Templars are slave owners, which I feel gives them an extra level of evil.
Well, we don't know if he's not, but yeah.
I don't know. Like, if you're a former slave, you're probably against slavery.
You might be surprised.
I would hope.
You'd hope, though, yeah. Okay.
But I think Chris said near the beginning, if you just judge it as a comedy, it's an absolute success. Like,
The guy that plays the dad.
Yes.
Is in a few other films by Stephen Kostansky.
Well, he was great. He was
just so weird.
it's a very low budget film, so some of the acting performances are a bit shaky, but I thought he was excellent. Like, there's a little moment where, like, you know, when he's sitting in his living room watching his TV and like some kind of power thing comes through the wall and just bounces off and smashes his TV. He just curls up into a ball and like screams, and it's very real. I was crying, I think.
Yeah, he does. He starts crying. I think, oh my God.
And also, I also love the bit where they, I think it's when the family's first introduced to Psycho Gorman and like they explain what he is, and then it cuts to them just walking through town. And Psycho Gorman just offhand kills some kid.
Yeah.
And like there are extras just walking down the street. They just sort of glance and then just carry on with their business. Like, yeah.
Well, it's like it's the same thing with Alistair. It's just like that's what Alistair looks like now.
Well, there's a bit in. I wonder whether. You go first.
I was just going to say, is she supposed to sort of have a crush on Alistair?
Oh, yeah. No, that's established in the beginning. And she still has a crush on him as a walking brain. Like she gives him a little kiss, which is adorable. Yeah, there's a bit in Gremlins 2. I don't think this is a reference as such, but there's a bit in Gremlins 2 where it's the bit where the winged gremlin falls into some concrete and then he's attacking that old man who's in the first film. And this is in New York. And all the New York people going about their business, they sort of just glance up at this fucking gargoyle attacking this dude and just glance up and then just carry on walking, which is clearly a commentary on New York people.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a little bit of a...
Maybe that's the reference there,
God. Okay, all right. You know, I'm going to have to put this up to an 8. As I scan through the film, there's so little, like, waste. You know, there's so few scenes that don't hit, you know?
Yeah. Did Rosie enjoy it?
Yeah, she enjoyed it. Yeah.
No difference.
I can ask her what she gives Psycho Gorman out of 10.
Yeah.
Are you texting the person that's in the same house as you?
Well,
I bet Drew does that as well. Though,
she's downstairs baking at the moment. I don't want to interrupt her.
You could just nip down after, you know?
Well, then I'm on a podcast at the moment. I don't know if you've noticed.
Why walk down when you can send a text message via a server in America?
Yeah. Okay, right. Message sent. Yep. So we'll just see. And okay. This could backfire. I could even ring her, to be honest. Okay, I'll try. Okay.
What if she's got flowery hands? You said she's baking. She might have flowery hands.
Okay. Tight by the nose.
How do you do speaker?
Warn her that she's on.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you want?
is that the speaker button? There we go. Yeah. Is she on? She might be, like, she's baking, so it might be.
Yeah, if her hand's like, if Amy says, yeah.
Come on. But yeah, no, I think just looking at how, like, there's just no filler in this film.
Yeah.
Everything they've got is part of the experience.
Not necessarily say it's like hugely narratively connected, but it's all kinetic towards something.
Yeah.
All right. No answer. So, but yeah, she definitely enjoyed it. She would probably give it about the same 7 or 8 or something. She laughed as much as I did.
Good.
Yeah.
And now you're giving it an 8. Why not push it up to a 9?
hey Rosie, would you? Yeah. What score would you give Psycho Gorman out of 10? 7?
Yeah, about 7.
It was similar.
Okay, yeah, 7. Yeah, Hamish gives it a 7. Okay, yeah, cool. All right, dismissed.
Wow.
You'll pay for that, I'm sure.
That was some meme energy.
Getting
too much above his station.
Yeah, there's a new god in town.
Yeah, that scene, I'd say out of the whole thing, that is probably the most genuinely shocking scene.
Yeah, that is
because
breaking,
you don't expect that in an American film. Saying like I'm literally saying the kid saying she's God and breaking across. Like, fuck. I'm surprised that's not been. I'm surprised the film doesn't get noticed for that and then gets blown up into being a huge hit because people go and see it because of religious people moaning about it, you know.
Well, a lot of the references are kind of, because that is kind of a reference to, that is a kind of moment that happened in all those films, but it would usually be feared. Like the kid would pray and a shaft of light comes in and they get an idea. Completely pisses on that.
Yeah.
With reality.
Yeah.
And I mean, by that point in the film, given the power she has over Psycho Gorman with the gem and everything, she almost is a godlike figure. Oh, my. Right, so I think so you Drew, you give it a 10.
I'm sticking to my 10, yeah. Not that like I completely agree with both of your ratings as well. Yeah, they're all fair.
Me and Rosie give it a 7, and Chris, you bump it up to an 8, is that right?
I'm bumping it up to an 8, yeah. Cool. So I'll make it available on my website. You should do a page on your website, Hamish.
We'll talk about that once we finish this podcast.
Good, okay. So yeah, this is going up to be an 8. All right, yeah. So
I just remember the way we used to finish. See, you now I never edited the endings of because I was doing the recording. I never edited the endings of Space Virgins episodes. I hovered over the stop button on
wait for an appropriate moment
and then just cut things. So usually.